We're talking now with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's D.C. office. Ethan, I know that NCBA has been really busy in trying to communicate concerns from the cattle industry back to the White House, back to USDA. Might start with some of the comments that you've made to the White House on behalf of the cattle industry. What are some high points there?
Yeah, Ron, you know, what we've tried to do over the last week is take a sort of the pulse of where those challenges are going to occur in the supply chain as we start to see these unprecedented shutdown measures come into play as the administration works to flatten that curve, so to speak. We've all learned that phrase in the last week, and what that might mean for our supply chain and the beef industry. You know, part of the problem that we're facing here is that we're not just like any other industry. We're all watching the news. We're all seeing those store shelves that have been cleaned out of beef, and that speaks to the fact that we are part of that food security puzzle that has to continue operating through this crisis to ensure that the American people have food on the table. So what we've tried to do is articulate to the White House and to the President's cabinet those steps that we need taken to ensure that we can continue that process even during this challenging time. So first and foremost, what we have stressed to them and what we've heard positively back from them is that those FSIS, APHIS, and AMS inspectors will stay on the job and will continue their important work as we move that product through the supply chain. We know that there are going to be challenging times ahead as they juggle staffing issues, as folks start to signal positive test results from this COVID-19. They are working on contingency plans to ensure that they can continue to stay operational. And that is welcome news for our producers, knowing that that federal government oversight component will continue moving forward. We're also working with the Department of Transportation to ensure that our livestock haulers can get where they need to go. First and foremost, we just heard there's going to be a 30-day waiver on hours of service requirements for all of agriculture. That's good news for our livestock haulers. That means that for all livestock haulers, not all of agriculture, excuse me. So that's good news for our haulers that they can get where they need to go over the next 30 days. That doesn't get us where we need to be on some of those inputs, and so we're going to have some additional work to do there to ensure that every bit of our supply chain is able to move as freely as we need it to continue operating. But we're also going to be monitoring state responses. We could see interstate travel restrictions. We could see things like that down the line. And we want to make sure that we're ahead of the curve there and taking all the actions we need to ensure that we can still move freely throughout the country. We're also focusing on the credit and cash flow aspect of this. We're seeing producers, particularly feeders in the cow-calf sector, really feeling the crunch right now. And we're seeing box beef prices go up while we're seeing cattle prices go down. And that spread is just crushing our members out in the country. So we're undertaking a suite of options to provide some relief there. We're asking both the administration and Capitol Hill for relief through FSA, loan repayment restructuring, access to more low and no interest credit options, and generally availability of operating capital where these guys need it to make sure they can stay afloat during this challenging time. We're also working with Capitol Hill on a variety of options that have been proposed there for part of this suite of stimulus packages that we're seeing move. Those options are still pretty rough sketches at this point, and you know, all of them have their problems. But we're continuing to engage in that conversation to try to see if we can figure out something that makes sense to get our producers some relief over the next few weeks. So that, in addition to monitoring the border closure at the Canadian border, which, while we were concerned this morning, we're hearing that we are going to see a regular flow of commerce back and forth across that border, which is good news for us and our producers. We don't expect any impact from that at this time. But you know, Ron, this is a really fluid situation. It's changing by not just the hour, but about every 30 minutes. So we are just kind of plugged in here at the office trying to respond and educate as necessary and roll with whatever this situation deals us.
You feel pretty good about as far as the availability to get your message to both the administration as well as Congress?
We do. I mean, as you know, things have shut down around here. It's pretty quiet in Washington, and those that are left are the serious players from various industries that are engaged in this conversation and trying to get this stuff done. So we've got pretty open lines of communication up and down Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, we had those before this crisis started, and that's the kind of groundwork that, you know, you're glad you laid in advance, because it sure comes in handy now.
I know on the hours of service, this has obviously been this is one of the bigger things, I would think, that they have immediately recognized that we've got to have some relief on.
It is. It's swift, decisive action that's going to provide some relief. But boy, it's one piece in a pretty large puzzle.
In regards to our exports, are you feeling okay about everything moving smoothly there? You see any breakdowns at this point?
We're feeling good at the moment. We're hearing that everything is on track, but obviously that's something we're going to continue to keep an eye on. You know, we've seen those port disruptions in other parts of the world. Some of the areas like China are on the downward slope of this thing, whereas we're just ramping up. So, you know, we're going to see that continue to be a shifting landscape as well. But we're not seeing any regulatory restrictions that are going to impact that at this point.
End of the day, your producers, you mentioned the fact that, you know, we're watching these cattle prices fall, wholesale box beef prices go up. Any light at the end of the tunnel on that, you think?
You know, look, this is an issue of price discovery. And you know, the fact is, this is something we've been wrestling with for a while now. This isn't new. We saw issues with this coming out of the Holcomb fire this summer. This is indicative, further evidence of the same problem. And this is something we're trying to figure out how to get a handle on. We've engaged with the packers over the last couple of days. We've asked them to recognize that spread. We've asked them to recognize the difference between those cutout values and what we're seeing in the cash market. And we've asked them to engage aggressively in that cash market so that we can get some robust price discovery. So we're pleased with those conversations. We're hoping they're going to take us up on that. And hopefully that'll inject a little bit of reality into those on the ground numbers, because it sure doesn't feel like producers are getting what they should be out of this process at this point. And hopefully a little more cash trade and price discovery will help alleviate that concern.
Ethan Lang with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in our nation's capital. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.